Kids tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Horror coming up in this hour. Later on, a story from Arch Obler on Lights Out. But now a story from Edward Bulwer Lytton. Probably not a name you're exactly familiar with, but some of his famous quotes I'm sure you are. Like from his play Richelieu, beneath the rule of men entirely great, the pen is mightier than the sword. He was also responsible for penning the now classic line, "It was a dark and stormy night." Next, we hear an adaptation of his story, The House and the Brain, published in 1859 on The Weird Circle, their second broadcast from NBC syndication from 1943.
We are met in this cave by the restless sea to reveal the horror in man's mind. Listen to The Weird Circle. Listen closely, for you will hear the crying of lost souls. Our story discloses the horror in man's mind. This is a tale of the house and the brain. Come with me to London, through the heavy fog of the city, to a large house in the suburbs. A young couple enter the portals of that house to attend an art auction.
Well, hello, Jim. We've been looking all over for you. We've got quite a crowd here today.
Paul Whitney, Sandra, I'm glad you've come. I thought you two were refugees from this sort of thing.
Well, frankly, Jim, I've suddenly conceived a passion for good oil paintings, and I'm going to buy this fabulous painting of the ancient cutthroat.
Well,
to tell you the truth, Jim, she suddenly conceived a passion for cutthroats, ancient or otherwise.
Oh, my husband abuses me.
I'm too nice to her, or she'd never be interested in any other man.
But, darling, the man in the portrait's been dead 400 years.
Dead or living, he's not beyond your charms.
Oh, but my husband loves me, Jim. Must be my fatal fascination.
Yes.
But I didn't come here to talk with you, even if it is fun. I came here to see that oil painting.
Oh, it's quite a painting.
Yes, so we've heard.
It's in my study. Come and take a look before the auction starts. Hmm?
Now, don't fall in love with it, Sandy. No matter how you feel about 15th century reprobates, I'm not going to spend a fortune buying useless pictures.
Well, there's the picture. What do you think?
He has a face you'll never forget.
And a reputation. Yes, sir, he lived a full life. You know, he was supposed to have been fabulously wealthy, but when he died, his fortune disappeared.
Oh, my dumpling aunt. He looks like the kind of man who sticks pins in people for the devil of it.
Sandra.
The strangest thing about the picture is the man's eyes. You get the feeling that the eyes are alive.
Yes, very definitely. Clever work.
Paul.
What's the matter with you, Sandra?
I could have sworn I've seen that man in London recently.
What man?
The one in the picture.
What? He's been dead 400 years.
Stop snickering at me, Jim. I know what I've seen.
Impossible. The only thing left of the Honorable Cutthroat Richards is the house on Orchard Street. He built it 450 years ago, and it's never been really habitable since.
Why?
Well, this is your chance to laugh at me. It's haunted.
Haunted?
Oh, not really.
Really?
Oh, Jim, I've never met a ghost.
And you never will, Sandra.
Jim, oh, Jim, please, imagine a really, truly ghost.
Wonderful, Jim, take us over. Or better yet, I'll rent the place for a week. I've heard a lot about ghosts, but I've never been able to pin one down. You know, I've been a student of the occult for a long time.
Jim, please.
Oh, Sandra, I'm serious. It's dangerous business, this ghost hunting.
Please, fella, anything to get Sandra's mind off buying that picture.
Very well, but you'll find some very real ghosts over there. The housekeeper, Mrs. Browning, will rent you a room if you want one. But she's the only person who's ever been able to stay in the old house.
Thanks, old man. Come along, Sandra.
But the picture.
Hang the picture, my sweet. I've got a genuine ghost for you. Open all by itself.
There's no one there. Doors aren't supposed to open by themselves, Paul.
Well, what do you expect? The house is haunted, isn't it? Door slammed by itself, too.
Woo! Tricky place, isn't it?
You frightened?
Not in the least. And it isn't my knees that are shaking, pet. It's yours. Wonder where the housekeeper is. Her name's Mrs. Browning. Call her and see what happens.
All right. Mrs. Browning!
Don't poke me, Paul!
I didn't poke you.
Well, I didn't poke myself. Oh, hey. I wonder if we're alone. Look behind me, Paul. If it's a ghost, I don't want to meet it quite yet.
Silly, it's broad daylight. Anybody knows ghosts never appear until nightfall.
Paul, Paul, look. It's a child's footprint right there in front of me, a wet footprint.
Great heavens.
No, another one. Looks like the footprint of a child who's taken a bath. Oh, my chubby aunt.
Listen.
The footprints lead upstairs.
Shall we follow?
Well, it's the obvious thing to do.
Ghastly cold in here, Sandy, isn't it?
Ghostly cold, at any rate.
You're not quite up to form, old girl. You sure you want to go through with this?
No, I'm positive. Almost, anyway.
Sandy, the footprints, they disappear.
Maybe it's all done with mirrors.
Good afternoon. Do come in the sitting room.
Oh, you must be Mrs. Browning. I'm Sandra Whitney, and this is my husband.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Mr. Danvers told me you were coming. Won't you be seated?
Thank you, Mrs. Browning.
I hope my stepdaughter didn't frighten you.
Your stepdaughter? Well, I didn't see anyone.
Naturally. She's dead.
You mean the footprints we saw?
Yes, of course. You didn't see or hear anything else?
No.
Expecting anyone?
Yes. They're coming for me shortly. My time is up. And I must die in the way they've planned it.
They?
Those who live in this house, Mrs. Whitney.
Oh, come, Mrs. Browning, you don't really believe ghosts actually live here.
Believe it? I know it. You see, Mr. Whitney, when I was first married 40 years ago, my husband, my stepdaughter, and myself moved into this house. They were here then.
Why didn't you move out?
Oh, we became used to them. Then my stepdaughter died. My husband had an unfortunate accident, and I was left alone.
You've lived here alone ever since?
Yes. Waiting for them to take me.
Mrs. Browning, how much will you charge my wife and myself for an apartment here by the week?
Charge? Nothing. Nothing at all. Anybody who has the courage to stay here is most welcome. But I advise you against it. Listen.
What is it?
Souls crying for release. Release from him.
Oh, come, Mrs. Browning.
You don't believe me? You will when you move in. When can I expect you?
Tonight at 8. How about it, Paul?
That sounds jolly.
You'll use the east wing. I'll have a fire lit for you. But let me warn you once again. They'll be waiting for you. Day and night.
Squirming, I'll never get you on a leash.
I'd better take some pistols along with us.
Well, I'm not at all sure you can shoot a ghost, Paul.
I'm not at all sure it is a ghost. Something awfully phony about all that.
Oh, no. My intuition says there were ghosts in that house, darling, and I've a very perceptive intuition.
Sandra, you're not going to take Blackie with you.
Well, of course I am. He's a watchdog, isn't he?
But a dog...
Now, darling, remember how nicely he caught pheasant last year.
But pheasant aren't the same thing as ghosts at all.
Stuff and nonsense. You ready?
All ready. Here's your coat, dear.
Oh, look out the window, Paul. So peaceful out there.
You've always been partial to twilight.
Oh, reminds me of the time you courted me. It was such a nice time. Paul, that man, the one on the street.
What man?
The one standing right out there. Look at him. That's the same man whose portrait we saw at Jim Danvers' house today.
Sandra, where are you going?
To talk to him, Pat, of course. My chubby aunt. It is him. Oh, excuse me, sir. I couldn't help noticing you and...
You noticed me?
You are Mr. Richards, aren't you?
I've been known to many by many names.
Oh, dear, please pardon me if I'm rude, but... Well, how in the devil did you manage to stay alive for 400 years?
You will notice my eyes. Look deep. deep.
Oh, let me go. Let me go.
Deeply into my eyes. You've never seen me before. You don't know me. You can never remember me again.
Keep walking, Sandra. I hope you're properly ashamed of yourself, approaching strange men and asking them silly questions.
Well, I'm sorry, Paul. It was stupid of me, but anybody can be wrong.
Of course they can, but on the face of it, it was silly. Expecting a man who was alive 400 years ago to be roaming around loose.
It wasn't a matter of looseness, Pet. It was a matter of liveness. Now, come on, stop being a husband and hold my arm.
I ought to tear it off and beat you over the head with it.
He's so virile, but I love him.
Well, come along, Sandy. There's your haunted house ahead. We don't want to keep Mrs. Browning waiting.
Or the ghost.
That door again.
Insidious feeling doors opening and slamming.
Mrs. Browning! Mrs. Browning!
I'm in the east wing, Mr. Whitney, just lighting the fire.
You better go on up. This hall's drafty.
Hey, Paul, more than cold in here. It's almost as if something or somebody is draining your body of all warmth.
That's a pleasant thought, Sandy. Now that you've scared yourself stiff, move.
Well, I was just getting in the mood for ghosts. Where's the east wing?
This way, Mrs. Whitney.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Browning. Well, this room looks cheerful.
It's as gay as my mood. Nice fire, nice candles. Quiet, quiet, Blackie. You scare somebody.
A dog scare somebody? Not tonight. They came tonight.
What came tonight?
You see. Better make yourselves at home while you can.
Blackie, sit down. Over here, Blackie. Look at him, Paul. The hairs on his head are standing on end.
Be quiet, Blackie.
Blackie!
Look! I told you they were here.
A luminous mass. A blue mass. Sandy, be careful.
It's materializing.
Coming for me. I knew it. Coming for me.
It's Mrs. Browning, Paul. Fingers are choking her. Good heavens.
Mrs. Browning.
Paul, Paul, stop this horrible
thing. Coming for me.
It's horrible.
It's all right, Sandra. All right, darling.
Oh, it's gone, hasn't it?
Yes. It's gone. But Mrs. Browning, she's... dead.
Nobody tells Detective Hodges that a flesh-and-blood woman gets bumped off by a ghost.
But I saw it myself. Oh, be quiet, Blackie. If you'd only relax, Detective Hodges, and go away, we'd catch the ghost for you.
Quiet!
I'm only trying to help, but Blackie, stop!
Sandra, you're only confusing the issue.
Paul's right, Sandra. Sit down over here.
Jim Danvers, if you side with Paul, I'll never speak to you.
Now, Mr. Whitney, if you don't mind, we'll go over the details again. What happened?
Well, Mrs. Whitney and I were here in this room with Mrs. Browning when a blue mass suddenly floated in the door. The lights in the fireplace dimmed, the candles were extinguished, and Mrs. Browning began to scream.
Why?
Because she saw a ghost. It's really all so simple.
Sandra, my dear.
And then what happened?
The mass suddenly materialized, at least sufficiently for us to see two hands.
Two hands without a body.
The hands reached out, grasped Mrs. Browning by the throat, and...
that was that.
Thank you, Mrs. Whitney. I suppose you expect me to believe that story?
There's no reason for you to doubt Mr. Whitney's word, Detective Hodge.
I'm not saying there is. But there was only three people in this room, and one of them is dead. Everybody's under arrest. Everybody, do you hear?
Oh, Paul, it's here again.
Look, Detective Hodge. Paul, Sandra.
Oh, Paul, for heaven's sake.
What is it?
An axe murderer. An ectoplasm.
Sandra, don't be funny.
Let's get out of this house before it gets all of us.
It's gone.
Yes, it's gone. Now do you believe us, Detective Hodge?
Yes. Yes, I believe you. I'll have Mrs. Browning's body removed to the morgue right away.
Paul, if you insist on staying in this house overnight, I'll not be responsible for what happens.
But, Jim, I'm convinced that there are no such things as ghosts. Now, please, Jim, take Sandra back home and leave me.
I'm not budging without you, Pat.
Sandra, don't be foolish.
Well, no matter what you two do, I'm not staying here.
Oh, go, old Fuzzy Beard. Take thy tired body and deliver it to a safe, warm bed. Poor Jim. Scared of a little ghost. It's 11 p.m. already.
Well, good night, Paul, Sandra.
Nighty-night, Jim.
What was that?
You mean the footfalls?
Yes, what is it?
The housekeeper's dead stepdaughter.
You see? It's all so simple.
Good grief. Good night.
Oh, we've been all through the house. Paul and I'm dead tired. Come on, let's go to bed.
You go to bed. I'll sit up and read these letters we found in the attic.
Here, Blackie, come here, come here. Now lie down next to me. There, poor Blackie, poor doggy. You don't like the ghosties, do you, Pat? Poor Blackie.
Hey, this letter's interesting.
What is it?
Evidently a letter from the housekeeper to her husband. A love letter. She talks about her brother's child. It seems her brother left his money to his daughter and she handled the estate for the child.
That's jolly. Maybe that's the child she calls her stepdaughter.
Let's see what it says. Listen. Since we have managed the child's end, you and I are more than lovers. We are partners in many things.
Sounds as if they murdered the child.
Yes, it does. Sandra, I wonder if my theory's right. If people felt strong passions, and if those passions linger in a house after the people have gone, couldn't that create a heavy psychic atmosphere?
Well, those fingers that murdered Mrs. Browning were more than heavily psychic. Unhook the collar of my dress, Paul.
Where'll I put the letters down on the dressing table here?
Just a top hook.
Better keep these pistols handy just in case. Something about a gun that gives me courage. Funny.
Oh, it's midnight. I'm tired and nothing's funny.
You know Mrs. Browning's sitting room? It seems to be an extra addition to this house. It juts out from the rest of the building like a sleeping porch.
What's funny about that?
Well, that horrible cold and the footfalls all seem to emanate from that room.
Oh, you and your logical mind. Oh.
What's the matter, Sandy?
Oh, look. The fire's dimming.
Oh. Oh.
Just like a great black shadow standing in front of it.
Give me my gun.
Here, dear. Shh, Blackie, shh.
Look, Sandy. A hand reaching out from the wall.
The letters. It's got the letters.
Great Scott.
Oh, my chubby aunt.
Watch it.
It's the hand of the housekeeper.
How do you know?
It's got the same ring on she had on this afternoon. If that's not a ghost, I've never seen one.
The fire's going out, Sandra.
Sandra! It's all around us!
Sandra! Sandra!
Your will against mine, my will is greater.
No.
Succumb, succumb. My will is greater.
No, you're a shadow.
And you are a mere mortal who knows no secrets beyond the veil. I control the world of shadows. Succumb, fool, succumb.
No, no, go away. You're nothing but an image.
You will die by my command in this house. You will die before morning. Admit my will.
No, no, I will not admit your will. Sandra, you're safe now on your own home. Just lie still, darling, and drink this.
Oh, Paul.
I was a fool to allow you to stay in that accursed place last night. I ought to have my head examined.
I came over as soon as I got your message, Paul.
Oh, come on in, Jim. Sandra's recovering from a bit of a shock.
Yes, I heard about it. I warned you, Paul, that house is definitely haunted. I'm going to board it up. It's completely useless.
No, that's not the answer, Jim. It isn't ghosts. At least, not in the real sense of the word.
Why, Paul.
After what you went through, you say that?
It's too malignant for a ghost. Do you believe in the power of hypnotism?
Well, I've heard some amazing theories about it anyway.
Well, I believe some power controls that house.
Well, that's still ghosts.
No, because the brain that controls the house is still alive. I'm convinced of it.
Well, where do you think this man who controls the house is?
He might be thousands of miles away. Remember you said that the eyes in the picture of the fabulous Richards seems alive?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Not at all. In some crazy, mad manner, Richards has kept himself alive all these 400 years. In some hypnotic way, he controls that house.
Well, if your theory is right, how can we break his control?
Well, I'm certain that his control emanates from the little sitting room which once belonged to Mrs. Browning.
Yes?
Now, if you'll let me, I'd like to hire workmen and tear that room off the rest of the house.
Oh, but Paul,
the room is only an extra addition, Jim. It can't do any harm to try.
Okay, pull up more of that flooring.
Did you hurt yourself climbing that partition, Sandra?
No. Oh, imagine a secret room down here, Paul, right beneath the sitting room. You see, Jim, Paul was right. That's like finding a box with a false bottom.
That's all for now, boys.
Careful of your head, Sandra. This room isn't very big.
But it's as cold as cold storage.
Well, now you know how a hunk of beef feels in an icebox.
That's gay.
A musty old room. Bed and four walls.
And two drawers built into the wall over there.
All modern conveniences.
Try to open them. They look rusty. Just pull.
All right. There. The drawer's open.
Oh, nothing but a lot of musty old clothes.
Listen, Paul.
Nothing unusual, Jim. Just the same footfalls we've been hearing all along.
I'm beginning to become quite fond of them.
Look, here.
Why, it's a miniature painting.
Yes, a painting of Mr. Richards. Look at it. The same face as that painting in my house.
Look at the eyes in the miniature. Paul, they're alive.
Great heavens.
They're moving. You better put that portrait down, Paul.
Yes, they are alive. Living matter in a painting.
Oh, Paul, it's getting colder in here all the time. I feel faint. Faint and as if something unearthly is moving around.
Open the next drawer, Paul. Hurry, I don't like this growing cold at all.
It won't budge. The blasted thing. Oh, there it is.
Why, Paul, here's a thin china saucer full of crystal liquid with a compass floating on it.
That's a strange thing. There's an inscription written in the drawer.
What's it say?
As this compass moves, so my will dominates everything within these four walls. Everything dead or alive. Accursed be the house and restless the dwellers therein.
What's it mean?
This is the brain, Sandra. Oh. Richards controls this instrument through hypnotism. He can control a piece of paper or a chair or even the souls of the dead.
Then this house is haunted.
Yes, haunted by a malicious, malignant will. It keeps a man's spirit roving restlessly after death.
Paul! Paul, look! Look in that corner!
Mr. Richards, you are alive.
Yes, alive, quite alive, because I will to live. Very clever deduction, Mr. Whitney.
Deduction?
Yes, I heard your keen analysis of my activities.
You are a hypnotist, then.
I have been powerful for 400 years. Your blind stumbling onto my secret will not stop me now. I can will anything. I will the specters of the past to re-enter this room.
In heaven's name, man, stop this.
Oh, that black shadow. It's here with us, closing in.
Yes, closing in. All those who have died in this house are my slaves, as you will be my slaves in a very few brief seconds.
You are not the brain controlling this house. You gave that power to this compass. You transferred your power to this moving needle. Am I right, Mr. Richards?
Put that compass down!
Oh, no, I'll destroy it, Mr. Richards! Now, you're completely powerless to harm us.
Watch out, Paul. This partition's going to crumble.
Paul!
Sandra!
Gosh, Paul, it's good to be back in our own home.
What happened to Mr. Richards when the partition collapsed, Jim?
Well, the workmen searched the debris around the house for Mr. Richards' body, but no trace of him was found. I'm afraid that he escaped.
Oh, no.
You mean he's still alive and free, Jim?
Yes, indeed. That's just what I mean.
Well, he won't be for long, Sandra. People everywhere will be warned, and every corner of this earth will be looking for him. Even his will can't defy the world, Sandra. No one man can ever fight the world.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have recalled the house and the brain. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
The Weird Circle, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from 1943. You're listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now an encore broadcast of Lights Out, as in the script was used about 5 years earlier on the series, the story called Organ, from June 8, 1943 on CBS. Author Arch Obler is host.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. A man, a woman, and a small boy arrive in a new home. Happy day. And sometimes not so happy.
And now, Lights Out. Everybody.
$40, $50, $60, and $20 is $80. And 20 is 100. Perfectly correct. $100 rental for 2 months. And now there's the matter of a receipt, of course.
If you don't mind.
Oh, no, 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 no. Not at all, Mr. Cook. Do business in a business-like way is my motto. We're not a very large firm, but service supreme is our motto. Now, what did I do with my receipt book? So careless of me. In this pocket?
Oh, no. Any old piece of paper will do, really.
No,
well.
No. Here we are. Had it in this pocket all the time. I'll just sit down over there and write it out for you.
Well, darling.
Oh, Chuck, it's simply unbelievable.
$50 a month for a furnished grand central palace like this one? Beautiful. There's something wrong in the woodpile someplace.
Your figures of speech are a little mixed, husband. But the fact remains that $100 is the price we're paying.
Yep. Service supreme over there is making up the receipt with his good left hand, so I suppose it's true. Oh, say, where's the... draft exemption.
Sleeping there on the sofa.
Made himself right at home pretty quickly, didn't he?
Takes after his papa.
Oh, now that's liable. I never curled up in a strange sofa without...
Oh, yes, sir, the supreme.
Here we are, folks. Here we are. Money received right and proper. I hope you'll be quite satisfied here. That's Christ.
Oh, I'm sure we will be. As you can see, our boy has made himself at home already.
Boy? Oh, yes. Cute little fellow. Do hope he'll be quite all right. Quite all right. Yes. Well, I must be getting along. Business, you know. Moving in at once, aren't you?
Well,
Yes. You told me you were. Yes. Well, good luck, and goodbye, Mr. Cook. Mr. Cook, goodbye.
Well, wasn't he in a hurry to get out?
Service supreme until the moment the rent's paid, and then it's exit extraordinary. Well, I'd better go get the things in out of the car, huh? Say, I never thought we'd spend the summer in a mid-Victorian mansion, did you, dear? Dear, I'm talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why the pensive look? What are you thinking about?
Just what that man said.
What man? Oh, you mean Service Supreme?
Yes.
Well, what pearl of wisdom did he spout?
Remember when he looked at Billy sleeping there?
Sure.
He said, I do hope he'll be all right.
Yeah, so he did. So what?
The way he said it.
Oh. say, you'll have to get some help in to clean up this place. Looks like my fraternity house used after we threw a dance and...
Chuck!
What are you staring at?
What are you doing here?
Phew, fella, you startled us.
What are you doing here?
Oh, Chuck, he must be the caretaker the real estate man told us about.
Oh, yeah.
You answer me.
Chuck, what's the matter with that man?
What? Look here, old man. You don't have to throw any catfits. We rented this place from the Service Supreme. What's his name? Mr. Hawkins, that real estate man up in town.
Rented?
Sure. Here's the receipt. $100 for the next 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah. Oh, I know it isn't much, but that's all the fellow wanted, so that's all he got. Of course, with all due respect to your caretaker. Oh, you are the caretaker, aren't you?
Yes, I.
Oh, good. Then I can speak freely. Well, as I was saying, the rental doesn't seem like much, but after all, big as it is, this is a pretty crummy old place.
Chuck.
Well, it is. And that real estate fellow said there hadn't been anyone living here regularly for 20 years since those people, what's their name, all died. So I figured at the price...
Reynolds.
Huh? What'd you say? What'd you say?
I don't know. I'm
frightened. Reynolds, Mr. and Mrs. and Paula.
Oh, Reynolds. Yeah, they're the people that lived here, aren't they? Mr. Hoos's real estate said something about
Get
this.
Out of here.
What?
Get out of here.
Chuck.
You hear me?
Now, wait a minute.
Get
there.
Out.
Wait a minute.
Out. You do not belong
wait now.
Here.
We rented
Get
this place.
Get out of here.
Know.
No. No one belongs here.
Why?
No one. It is mine.
What do you...
Mine. 20 years.
Now,
mine.
Stop waving your arms
Get
around,
out.
Old man. Stop
Get
it.
Get out. You've got
stop,
to go.
Stop you.
All
you wake
of
up
you.
Billy.
You
place
wake up the
is
dead.
Mine.
He's making enough mine, noise.
I tell you.
Now,
you
look
got
here,
to
old
Get
man.
Out.
We...
My house. Mine.
We...
Nobody...
We...
Get the...
We...
Chuck. He's sick. Catch him.
Old man. Old man.
Chuck, he's not...
No. Just passed out, I guess. Wonder where some water is. We ought to...
He's coming, too.
Thought he'd popped a valve or something the way he was blowing off. Give me a hand. We'll put him on that other
take
sofa where...
Take your hands off of me.
Huh?
Take your hands
oh,
off of me.
Oh, now, look here, old man. We just want to help you.
Your hands off of me.
Oh, Chuck, help him get up.
No. No. I am all right. I will live longer than anybody. You will have to get out. You will have to get out.
Hey, now, wait a minute, old man. Can you imagine that old duck?
Running off like that.
We did get a bargain. A house and entertainment by a cracked nut, all for $50 a month.
But why was he so furious?
Don't ask me. I'm no psychiatrist. Oh, well, let's not let the old crackpot spoil things.
No.
I'll slip him a few bucks in the morning. He'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's wake up that snoozing son of ours and...
Chuck, look.
Huh?
He is awake.
Why, you little rascal, you. How long have you been sitting there watching, young man?
A long time. Where are we, Dad?
I'll tell you, Billy. We're in a great big beautiful house where you and I and Father are going to have a good time for the next 2 months. Isn't that good news?
Well, why don't you answer your mother, Billy? Aren't you glad we're going to be staying here in the country?
Dad?
Yes, son?
Please, let's get out of here. I'm awful scared.
I wonder if he's sleeping yet.
I'll go see.
Be very quiet, Chuck.
I will. Like the proverbial cherub.
Chuck, keep your voice down.
Oh, that air of ours is sleeping so deeply, it'll take Sousa's band to wake him up.
Maybe we should have let him sleep with us this one night.
And have him grow up into a lily that falls over the side of his own shadow? Oh, no, Mrs. Cook. He sleeps in that room and likes it. Anyway, he's deep in sleep, so that's that. And here I go. Boy, stretching out feels good. You know... It's going to take at least 2 bands to wake me up tonight.
Lock all the doors?
Mm-hmm.
And the windows?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, now listen, honey.
Oh, please tell me.
I am telling you. This house is locked up tighter than a who's got. Shutters, doors, everything. I can tell you, if that crazy old coot decides to come back to continue his oration, he'll have to use a hacksaw to get in.
I wish it was morning.
Hmm?
You could sort of straighten things out with him. After all, he is the caretaker.
Oh, forget it. We rented the place from the accredited agents, and the old boy doesn't like it. Well, that's too bad. Let's go to sleep.
But, Chuck...
Oh, Ann.
But I want to know...
What?
Why should he have gotten so excited? It's been worrying me.
I don't know. Maybe because he thinks we'll mean more work.
20 years alone.
Huh? What'd you say?
I was just wondering why this place hadn't been rented or sold all these years.
I don't know.
Could it be...
What?
Nothing.
Say, are you thinking of... Oh, that's nonsense.
Is it?
Sure. Just because a house is big and old and hasn't been lived in for a long time doesn't mean that... Oh, I tell you, that's storybook stuff.
Chuck.
What?
Why did Billy say that he was frightened?
Oh, he's just a little kid.
Well, isn't it possible that young children are closer...
To what?
To things that aren't of this world.
Ann Cook.
I was just thinking.
Well, stop thinking things like that. All the screwy ideas to get in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. Now, come on. Go to sleep. Before you give me the jitters, too. Save the ghost talk for tomorrow morning when the sun's shining. It's a little dark and dismal and weird right now to be talking about ghosts.
Chuck, listen.
Music.
Oh, Chuck.
It's not a radio.
Chuck, I'm frightened. I knew something was wrong here. I knew it. The old man was right. We shouldn't have come here. We shouldn't have. I knew it the minute I saw him. I want to go, Chuck. Please, I don't want to stay here. We shouldn't have come here.
Wait, stop. It stopped. So quiet now.
Yes. Oh, Chuck. Did we really hear it?
I felt floor vibrating, like it does when the organ plays in church.
It's Billy.
Yeah.
Billy!
He's all right.
Billy.
Hello, Mom, Dad.
There's no one with him.
Billy. Billy, why are you laughing like that? Why, Billy?
Oh, because I've been having fun. Gosh, lots of fun.
Oh, a dream, son. You mean you've been having a funny dream?
Gosh, no. A dream. This is my dad, funny old lady.
Old lady? Who did you say that to, Billy?
She wants me to go downstairs with her to listen to the music.
Music?
But I told her I couldn't go. Not unless you said I could go. Can I, Mom? Can I go?
Go. Go where, Billy? Over where?
Downstairs, like I told you.
Billy, listen to me. Who are you talking about?
Son. Answer your mother. Who are you talking about? Yes, and why are you staring at the foot of the bed? What are you looking at?
The old lady, Dad. Don't you see her sitting there?
Old lady?
Son.
Gosh. Can't you see her? Funny old lady. You can kind of see right through her.
Let me get this around you. Kind of a wind blowing in from someplace. We should have stayed upstairs, really.
No, no. I couldn't stay up in those horrible bedrooms. I couldn't.
All right. All right. Now, don't get upset again. Here we three are, and here we stay. Until daylight.
Won't it ever get light again?
Oh, no, honey. Just a few more hours. Gosh, kids are wonderful.
What?
Billy, look at him there. Sleep as if nothing had happened.
He doesn't know that anything did.
Lucky kid. Oh, you just wait until that old son starts doing this stuff. I'm going to turn this house upside down until I find out what...
Chuck. Wait.
Something?
I don't know. I thought I heard something sighing as if... That horrible music again.
It's here. An organ right in this room.
But where? Where is it coming from? Where?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't stand it. I can't. Don't make them stop it. Organ
please, dearest,
playing.
Please,
no one
control
here.
Yourself.
Stop
You'll
it.
Wake
stop
up the boy,
stop
honey.
That.
Mama, Mom.
Billy, he's up.
Mom, come to me, Mom.
Oh, yes, Billy. Yes, Billy boy, yes. What is it?
That funny music. Where is it coming from, Mom?
I don't know. But, Mom...
It's all right, son. Stay here by me. That's the boy. Oh, daylight ever come.
I wish we wasn't here.
Chuck, it's getting darker.
It's all right. Just the dark before the dawn. You know.
Dad, it's getting light.
And the music dying away.
Light. But what a strange light. Dan, is there something wrong with my eyes?
No. I see it, too.
Do you? The wall over there. A light growing on it.
Oh, Chuck, I'm afraid.
We've got to get out of here. Quickly.
Yes.
No. Wait. That wall. The light's gone through it. Beyond it. There's a room there now. A room.
Yes. Yes, I see it, too. Oh, Chuck, what is this?
What are you afraid of?
Em, there's someone sitting in that room.
Yes.
It's a girl. I see her so clearly. And yet, somehow it isn't real, is it?
Look at the way she's dressed. So strangely.
So clear. And yet it's more like a picture on the wall. No depth. The flatness of the picture.
Chuck, look. There's a man coming into that terrible light.
By George, it's he.
What?
Don't you recognize him, the old caretaker?
Yes.
But now he isn't so old.
Oh, get me out of here.
No, wait. We don't dare go. Not yet. Pictures on the wall. And yet not pictures.
He's going closer to her.
I see it. Talking.
Oh.
And yet he hasn't substance, flesh. I know he hasn't.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Elderson.
Yeah, Paula.
Pictures talking as if...
Like talk
am I insane?
No, Mr. Elderson. Mother doesn't like to have me talk with you.
Because I am a gardener.
Oh, Chuck, Billy.
Don't talk.
Whatever's the reason, Mr. Elderson, you shouldn't come in here when Mother's away.
Bless your mother.
Mr. Elderson.
I say black, sir. I've got nothing, so I'm not good enough.
Please go.
Your papa, before he died, promised me money... Plenty money for all I did for him.
I'm sorry you didn't leave.
Your mother.
It wasn't in the will. How could she give it to
your
you?
Your papa, Mr. Reynolds, he promised me.
Reynolds, oh, they're the people that own this place.
But Mr. Hawkins said they'd all been dead for 20 years.
You drive me out too, eh?
No, please.
If I had the money your papa promised me, you wouldn't tell me to go. Maybe you would love me.
Don't, please.
But you could love me anyway, Paula Reynolds. I make you love me.
Daddy, what is it? Moving pictures? You frighten me.
The light fading out.
And there, they're going with it.
Oh, what have we seen, Chuck? What?
Wait. The light. It's coming back.
Don't look, Billy boy. Here, put your head against Mother.
Anne, look. He killed her. Standing over her, that horrible look on his face.
Chuck, another woman's coming in.
The mother.
He's turning toward her. Chuck, he's going to kill her, too.
I can't move.
I want to scream. I can't. Do something, Chuck. He's killing the mother, killing her.
What can I do? I can't move. Gone. The light goes, and they go with it.
But we saw him kill them both, mother and daughter.
Billy didn't see him.
No. He buried his head against me so tightly that... Why, Chuck?
What's the matter?
He's asleep.
Asleep?
Yes. So quietly against me. It is as if someone out there didn't want him to see that horror. Only you and I. Oh, Chuck, what was it that we saw? What?
Whatever it was, we're getting out of here. Quick, give me the boy.
Wait.
Who the...
The old man, the one we just saw kill...
The one you just saw, what?
You killed them. How? Why, I don't quite understand. But we saw you kill them, mother and daughter.
Oh, so,
was it real?
Yes, I killed them both. Yes, I killed them. And why not? The young one gave me no love. The old one no money. He promised me. He promised me, but when he died, they gave me nothing. Killed him. Yes. Yes, killed him with my own hands. I killed him.
Chuck, the police.
Yes,
no.
I'm gonna...
No police. There were no police then. There will be no police now.
But murder. Two women.
They know. I know. And now you know. No one else will ever...
What do you mean?
You hear? They understand.
That horrible organ music.
Their music. Night after night since I killed them. Now you know why I didn't want you here. Now you know why I must kill you.
Kill?
That gun!
Yes, with the gun. Them 20 years ago with my hand. You with this gun.
You crazy!
No, Chuck, you'll kill you! Look out!
Kill you all.
Give me...
I'll kill you all.
Give me that gun.
Give
it to me, I tell you.
Give me that. Look out! Chuck.
I'm all right. Dead. I had my hand on the gun, and then it seemed to turn in my hand toward him. As if someone...
I saw...
Billy, is he...
Still sleeping.
Sleeping. Through all that.
Bless his sleep.
The wall! It's falling out! The wall. It... There's the organ. The organ that was playing. And women... Two women sitting at the keyboard.
No, no, Chuck. Don't go closer.
Oh, no.
Chuck, what is it?
No. I was wrong, Ann.
Wrong?
Not women. Not anymore. Two skeletons in dresses.
Oh.
I think I know now. He killed them. 20 years ago. And then walled up their bodies in there with the organ.
But what we saw. The music. How could it...
Ann, look.
They're crumbling.
Bones into dust. He's dead. Now they can have peace.
Martin. Ah, if you want a rational explanation of the return of the dead, don't expect it from me. I can see the stories, I write them, but if you want facts, don't expect them from me tonight. I suggest the Encyclopedia Britannica or
Oh, yes, a visit to that old lady around the corner who says she talks with ghosts. As to whether the dead can return, once again I say we don't know, and perhaps it's better that we don't. Which reminds me of the future and reminds me of next week. Have you ever heard of alter ego, Frank?
I don't know what ego is, all right, but what's the alter? Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that the play you did a number of years ago with Betty Davis, which caused such a furor?
Right. Good memory, Frank. That was a long time ago, and so many of my friends here in Hollywood, including the illustrious Betty D. herself, have asked me to do it again, that we're going to do it once more. Alter Ego, the story of a girl's other amazing self. But that's next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's eerie story, Alter Ego. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. But remember, there's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet.
Lights Out, untuned to yesterday from June 8, 1943 on CBS. And the curtain comes down on this hour of horror, untuned to yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.